God's mercy and peace be with you this morning. And today's a really special day because we have four confirmation students. There's a typo in the bulletin. We have Grant, we have Ryan, and we have Savannah. For the last couple of years, it's really good. These three have been in class, received instruction here at Peace, learning things like the Lord's Prayer, Old Testament, New Testament, the Apostles' Creed, the chief parts of the Catechism. You may remember going through confirmation. And at the end of our service, towards the end, we're going to have their first communion and a rite of confirmation as they come forward and a special blessing for each one of them. But you noticed, I said there's a typo because we have a fourth confirmation student. I'm really excited about it because I'm going to spend my entire sermon talking about the fourth confirmation student. That confirmation student is Daniel. Daniel's here with us. You heard the reading this morning from Daniel and Mrs. Philpott. Thank you for reading this morning from Daniel chapter 6. Daniel went through confirmation about 2,500 years ago, believe it or not. And he was a young man who was instructed. This is a picture of a young Daniel. Daniel's one of the prophets in the middle of the Bible, found in the middle part of the Bible. And Daniel received very strict instruction in the faith. He grew up in Jerusalem, and he had a very turbulent youth. During his youth, he was then, after receiving that instruction in Jerusalem, he was lifted out of that home and taken to a whole new city named Babylon. See, during Daniel's time, when he was going through confirmation, this was a time of great political upheaval, economic upheaval, and a lot of difficulty going on in the world today. Sometimes we think today's worse than it ever could have been. Daniel's world was upheaval at an amazing level. Daniel did three things really well. He was the perfect confirmation student. And so I want us to think about what it means to be the perfect confirmation student. He did three things really well, and it's a lesson for not just our three confirmands, but for every single one of us as we live our life out and we're disciples of our Lord Jesus. The first thing that Daniel did, and these are listed kind of quickly here, the first thing that he did was that Daniel excelled in the secular world. Babylon was a secular place. They taught a language of their own, Chaldean. They taught astrology was big in this empire that he was taken to. And what we know from the scriptures is that Daniel excelled. He was a great student. He had skill. He was skilled in wisdom. He presented himself well when he got up in front of other people. You could picture him perhaps as a scholar, as a scientist, maybe even an athlete. He did everything very well. And what we read in the text here this morning is that Daniel did so well in the secular world of Babylon that he was raised by the king to the top position. He was the official over everyone in Babylon, even though he was Jewish and had that background. There's a lesson to be learned here, friends, and especially youth, and here it is. As Christians, we should want to excel in the secular world. We should want to do things to the best of our ability. Let me explain that. On the sports field, we should work our hardest and best, not for ourselves, but for our team, for our community, for the people that we represent. For those who play musical instruments, Dr. Johnson, we should play the hardest that we can. Practice. If you have Dr. Johnson, please practice. How many times a week? Often. Every day, he says. How long? 20 minutes. 20 minutes, that's it. Man, all right, focus, a good 20 minutes. Friends, in the secular world, we should study music the best that we can. Science, language arts, whatever we do, we should do to the best of our ability. See, Christians don't disengage from the world and secular activities. What we learn from Daniel is Christians step up and excel in the secular world and know things better even than others around them. That's the story of Daniel. And friends, when Daniel did this, people pointed to him, even people that were not Israelites and Hebrews, and they said, Daniel is a leader. Follow him. Even though they weren't Hebrew. Daniel did a second thing, though. Daniel didn't just excel in the secular world. Daniel engaged his faith. He didn't lose his faith. This is big. That first picture that I showed here, it's kind of a an old one of Daniel, but what you have here, it's wine and maybe some meat. My eyesight isn't so good, but in the Babylonian culture, there was pressure to eat the meat and the wine that was given to people because it had been sacrificed to the gods, Marduk. It was sacrificed to the idols in this culture. And what we learn in the book of Daniel is that Daniel did not give in to that pressure. Daniel, his faith was important. That was giving into his faith. He kept his faith. In our reading this morning, also we see that the leaders put forth a decree that the king signed that no one should pray to either a man or a god for 30 days. No one throughout the kingdom. And the king signed it. But you see, Daniel kept his faith. He engaged with his faith in a secular culture. Three times a day he prayed. His relationship with God was number one. He excelled in a secular world, but he also engaged his faith. Wow. Daniel did that. Now, there's a lesson to be learned here as Christians. Friends, habits matter as a Christian. Devotions, reading the Bible, discussing things with fellow Christians. Daniel did those things, and everyone who was around him, whether they were Hebrew or whether they were Babylonian, said, Daniel, he is a man of faith. He loved his faith. So those two things, he excelled in the secular world. That's interesting and really amazing that Daniel did that, number one in all the land. But he also engaged his faith. Those two things probably were like walking along a tightrope. Anyone ever walked on a tightrope before? You have, Joey?
Failing.
Didn't go so well, you fell. Oh, 3 feet off the ground. Well, if you ever have experienced walking a tightrope, it's a difficult thing to do. The way it works is you walk on the wire, and you got to have your weight just right above your legs, and you got to have critical parts of your body holding that weight. Those critical parts are your legs and also your ankles. And you got to make every movement just right, and as you walk, you actually sway back and forth. If you see someone do this, they walk down the line, and they sway one movement to the left, and they fall, and they for Joey, it was 3 feet, but for some people, it's a lot longer, greater distance. But one lean to the right, and you fall in the other direction. Walking on a tightrope is a very difficult thing. And friends, this is what Daniel did in his life. On the one end, the secular world was giving pressure on him, and that could tip him over on one side. And on the other side, he had his faith. And if he completely engaged with his faith and didn't get involved with other people, he could fall off on the other side. Daniel walked a tightrope 2,500 years ago. Now, friends, especially youth, you're walking a tightrope today. About 30 years ago, when I went through confirmation, it was more like a beam. It was, you know, you could walk and... You know, in the secular world, you could walk around and you could also keep your faith and you could walk fairly securely. But friends, today, with today's pressure that is put on youth and everyone, it's like walking on a tightrope. The chances of falling on one side or the other are very high and very great. As you all know, Daniel fell from the tightrope walk. Lots of pressure was put on him. Did you catch in the reading where Daniel fell? Where did Daniel fall? He fell into a lion's den. That's not a place that you want to fall into. The pressure of the king and the decrees and pressure of his holding his faith was so much, he gets sent down into the lion's den. And it's at this point that we learn a third very important lesson. Here's a painting of, and you may not be able to see this too well, but it's a painting of Daniel in the lion's den. This was painted by a Roman Catholic, actually, in the 16th century. And I really like this painting because it portrays Daniel and really it shows how dangerous it was in the lion's den. Now, there's one thing that's not correct about this painting, I'll point out. The man in the painting, Daniel, is about 40 years old. Daniel, when he went into the lion's den, was John Leach's age. He's older, okay? Yeah. So we know from the Bible that Daniel was 80 years old, is what it says. How many lions have you fought at 80 years old, John? Any? Two besides me? No. Okay. All right. So two lions. All right. You don't fight lions when you're 80 years old. This is a perilous situation. And if you look at the way the painter has put his body, his legs are tense. He's praying. He doesn't know what to do. And down below you see bones of people that have been eaten by the lions. They're hungry. They're about ready to feed. But it's at this point, friends, that we learn the most important lesson of Daniel, the confirmation student. Daniel relied on his God. He called upon God when he fell in the tightrope that he was walking. And Mrs. Philpott read it very well this morning. When Daniel had to explain how this all happened to the king, Daniel said this, "King, my God sent, what did he say? My God sent his angel to shut the mouth of the lions." Now friends, interpreters, scholars, very reputable scholars, will say that phraseology in Daniel about his angel suggests that that was Jesus Christ. Not just any old angel. His angel came and shut the mouth of the lions. What we learn from Daniel is Daniel relied on God. Moment. You know, in our lives, I think we can admit that there's a lot of pressure on the lives, and we fall with the pressures of the secular world, and also the pressure of maintaining our faith. It's a big pressure in the church today, balancing those two, and we all fall. Actually, there's so much pressure that every single person, I would suggest, falls, whether no matter if they're Christian or non-Christian. They fall from the pressures that are put on them for relationships, for work responsibilities, for the challenges that are in school, and they fall down. Whether they're Mormon, Christian, whatever they are, there are pressures that put us down. But the difference between Christians and non-Christians is this. When Christians fall, they know that they can turn to a God who will send his Son right by their side to show his presence and to know that everything will be okay. God sends his Son to your side. Now, as our confirmation students come forward and receive the body and blood of Jesus, that, my friends, is what is happening. God is promising you through the body and blood of Jesus that he will be right by your side in all the lion den type places in your life. And the lions of your life will roar, but they will never eat you. Jesus is by your side. So please, confirmation students, all of us, remember the lesson of Daniel. God is right by your side. He doesn't take us out and away from the challenges in life. He didn't do that with Daniel. Daniel spent the entire night in the den with the lions. God sends his Son, Jesus. That's how he works. Right by our side to guide us through the challenges in life. We excel in the world. We do our best. We engage in our faith. That's important too. But at the right moment, we call upon God and his presence. We come forward and receive his body and blood to know that Jesus is right by our side. The lions cannot hurt us. They can roar. The challenges in life cannot eat us. Jesus is with us. Amen.